Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
So on March 25th in 2007, a 10-year-old girl sat in her group, her church group, and heard about a new charity called Stop the Traffic. As she listened to her youth pastor, she learned what happened to women and men who are trafficked from their homes into the sex industry. Her heart wept. Compassion overflowed as she heard about those who are kidnapped and abused for profit. Over the next 10 years, that compassion grew and never left her. Until she took a gap year before university and ministered to those trafficked in Thailand. When she returned from that gap year, she pursued a degree focused on social justice. Later, her heart drew her into the UK justice system. And today, she works for the Crown Prosecution Service, advocating for victims of sex crime and supporting the pursuit of justice for those who perpetrate them. When I recently asked that young girl, my daughter Jessie, what her hopes for the future might be, she said her heart was being called even deeper into this area of ministry. Why? Who would want to work in that area? Well, I can tell you why. It's because God has broken Jessie's heart for those who are trafficked and those who are abused. Now, we may not all be called to serve in the same way or called to serve in the same area, but we are all called to serve. And discovering how we are shaped, which is what this series is, for service is exactly what we're trying to do here. Spiritual gifts we looked at last week. What special abilities God has given you to serve. Heart is what we look at this week. What passion burns within you for God's work. And then we're going to be looking at abilities. What natural talents were you born with? Personality. How has God wired you to serve? And then experiences, both good and bad. How can God use both joyful and painful experiences in your shape to shape his story? As I said, last time we looked at spiritual gifts, and you can go to our website if you've not listened to that. But today, we return as if a 10-year-old girl, a 10-year-old boy, to seek God for what he has placed upon our hearts. What passion burns within you? The Bible refers to the heart around 1,000 times. Now, I stole that stat from the internet, so don't trust it. But actually, we know that the Bible mentions the heart an awful lot, don't we? The question that might arise in you is, hold on a minute, isn't the heart deceitful above all things and beyond cure? Aren't we told not to trust our heart? Many of us have been taught by well-meaning teachers, including me, to distrust our hearts, to suppress our emotions, to believe that we are new creations in Christ, so therefore our emotions are unreliable. I seem to say this a lot from this pulpit, but that's tosh. Like many misconceptions, it's only half true. Pete Scazzero, who writes in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Christian spirituality without an integration of emotional health can be deadly to yourself, to your relationship with God, and the people around you. You'll know, if you know me any little bit at all, you know that I put a great stock in emotional health, and I highly recommend reading this book if you haven't done so yet. Because in it, he goes on to explain that we shouldn't block our emotions, but we should recognise our emotions and where they may have come from, the world or God, a mixture of the two. And so ignoring our emotions is not a biblical idea, despite what I may have said in the past and what you may have been told. It's not a biblical idea to ignore our emotions. In fact, if we go back to the Bible and we read, for example, Acts, where we read in Acts that after removing Saul, he made David, that's David of David and Goliath, their king. And God testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." David, a man after God's own heart. And if you know anything of David, you will also know that he was an adulterer and a murderer as well. So he's not talking about all of his actions, is he? But he is saying that actually he had a heart like God did. David is described as a man after God's own heart. God has a heart. We're not talking physical hearts, are we? We know in English we don't mean that when we say our heart, typically. But God has a heart, and we are made in his image, and we have a heart. In fact, Proverbs speaks a lot about heart. Storing scripture in our heart is just one thing. Psalms says that God knows the secrets of our hearts. The heart is a vessel, not just for desires, but for actually the Holy Spirit to speak into, for holy direction. The heart is a place for emotions, a place where we can store both good and, yes, bad emotions as well. But the heart is not to be ignored. So what about that Jeremiah quote then? Well, let's read it in context. This is what the Lord says. "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Goes on explaining what will happen, but then move into verse 7. It says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out roots by the stream." Cursed are those whose heart is turned away from the Lord. Not cursed by God, but cursed because where they will place their heart. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose heart and confidence is in him. The heart itself is not intrinsically the problem. It's where we place our hearts, what we put into our hearts, that's the problem. Place the wisdom of the world, and you're playing a lottery about what might come out of it. Some of it may well be good, but much of it will not be the way of Jesus. But blessed is the one who places the Holy Spirit in their heart, who spends time in Scripture, filling their hearts up with Scripture so that God can pull it out again. Blessed is the one who spends time in prayer with God, who will turn their heart towards the areas that he has for them. In fact, Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, because what you wish will be for God. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The fruit coming out will be of God because of where you've placed your heart. "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love." Abide is what the old translation used to say, isn't it? Abide in God. And he says, "If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." If you abide in Jesus, what enters your heart will be of God. If you abide in Jesus, you will be shaped by God, by his Spirit. And what breaks your heart will be what breaks God's heart. If we abide in Jesus. If you abide in Jesus, remain in the vine, what God's Holy Spirit warms your heart about will be of God. So let me ask you this. What's on your mind right now when I say, what do you care about? As you look around our church, what makes you say, I wish someone would do something about that? as we look out to our community, what needs do you see that make you want to act? And is that someone actually you? If you were a 10-year-old girl and a 10-year-old boy, sat in a room, having your heart broken, what would it be broken by? What could you believe God could change before you let the stuff of being an adult get in the way?
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.